Welcome to the Grace Community Baptist Church podcast. Following Jesus together is our motto. That is why we are proud to present Pastor Brandon Bullock online for all to enjoy.
Chapter 1. I want to read verses number 8 through 12 to get us started this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to try to make it through verse number 1 all the way through verse number 12. We're going to read verse number 8 through 12 just to get us started. 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 8 down to verse number 12, where the Bible says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your perfect word. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to look into your word together and, Lord, study your truth for us. Lord, I ask this morning that, Lord, that as we open your word, that each of us would also open our hearts and our minds. Father, I ask that as we open your word, that you would open your word unto us. Lord, that you would speak your truth, your word, your life unto us this morning, that you would be our teacher. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would be our guide. Lord, revealing more of who you are, more of who we are and who you would have us to be. Father, I ask that you would challenge us this morning, or that you would convict us if need be, or that you would comfort us, Lord, as we look into your word. Lord, I thank you for this awesome privilege that you've given me to minister your word. Lord, I know that I am nothing without you. I know that on my own, Lord, I'm so unfit for this task. Lord, I'm so broken, so weak, so frail. Lord, I want to be a blessing to your people here this morning. But Lord, on my own, I know I can't. So Lord, I ask this morning that you would take up this broken vessel in your hands. Lord, that you'd give to me, Lord, your Spirit's fullness and power. Lord, that you would use me. Lord, I pray this morning that you would just love and minister through me. Lord, I ask that in my weakness, in my brokenness, Lord, that your strength would be perfected, that your name would be uplifted and glorified. Lord, let us hear from you this morning. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you want to be remembered as a believer that failed? Anybody? I don't know. I've never met a single person that wants to be remembered as a failure, no matter what they do, and whether it's at their profession or in their families or in sports or whatever they do. I've never met somebody that wants to be remembered as a failure. And I believe that as believers here this morning, I don't believe that any one of us wants to be remembered as a failure. I believe we all want our lives to count for God's glory and for his kingdom. And I believe that every single one of us want to appear before him one day and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Here in 2 Peter, we have pictured here that kind of Christian. We read verses number 8 through verse number 12, and the kind of Christian that Peter writes about here is a Christian that is abounding and fruitful. You'll see that in verse number 8, where it says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Right? He pictures here a Christian that is abounding, a Christian that is fruitful. He pictures here in verse number 9 and 10 a Christian that is confident in their faith. He pictures here a Christian that is steadfast and a Christian that is growing in their faith and in their relationship with their Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that is the kind of Christian life that I want to live, right? I want to live a Christian life that is growing, right? I want to live a Christian life that is abounding, a Christian life that is fruitful, a Christian life that is steadfast, a Christian life that is confident in Christ. So how do we do that? How do we build this abounding Christian life? I'd like to point your attention to a couple words that are repeated in these verses. And you'll notice them in verse number 8, right at the very beginning, it says, "For if these things..." Peter here is writing about some things that if they are present in our lives, right? If these things are in our lives, he says, then we will be abounding, we will be fruitful, we will be confident, we will be steadfast, and we will be growing. See, these things that he writes about are keys to building an abounding Christian life. So what I'd like to do is look at what these things are, right? Let's not leave it a mystery. Let's not just call them these things that are out there that nobody knows about. Listen, I believe that not only do we want to live abounding Christian lives, I believe that that's what God wants for us, right? I have 4 kids, and I don't want to see any of them be failures, right? Every parent wants what is best for their children. I believe that God, as our Heavenly Father, wants the same for us. He wants for us to live that abounding Christian life that is growing and steadfast and confident and fruitful. So let's take a look at some of these things that must be present in our lives, these building blocks, if you will, of building an abounding Christian life. Now, we have a whole list of them present here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to try to make it as far as we can this morning, but I have a feeling, a hunch, that we're not going to make it all the way through. Whatever we don't get to today, we're going to pick up on next week, okay? But the first thing we need to notice here is that the foundation of this abounding Christian life is faith in Jesus Christ, okay? The foundation, the starting point, if you will, of an abounding Christian life is faith in Jesus Christ. You notice that in verse number 1 through verse number 4. Let's read those together where Peter writes, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." You see, like every building that has ever been built, the most important part of any building is its foundation, right? You're building a building, you want to make sure that it has a good foundation. How many have ever bought a house or looked at houses to buy or to rent? One of the things you look at is the foundation, right? There's cracks in the foundation. I want to stay away from that house, right? Foundation's going. And if the foundation goes, then it's a very, very, very costly repair, right? The foundation is the most important part of every building. You got a strong foundation, you got a strong building. You got a strong foundation, you got a building that will last, that will endure through storms and through trials. Just like these strong buildings that have strong foundations, the foundation that we build our lives on is the most important part, is the most important part of our lives, okay? We must build our lives on a good foundation. And the foundation that we must build our lives on is faith in Jesus Christ, and only faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll pick up in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9, where Paul writes, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." All right? We're all building our lives on something, aren't we? Many people endeavor to build their lives on their fame, on their reputation, maybe on their wealth or their riches or their possessions or their careers or their families, but everybody's building their lives on something. The only foundation that will last, the only foundation that is stable, right, the only foundation that is sure for us to build our lives upon is faith in Jesus Christ. You see, every other foundation is shifting. Every other foundation is changing. Every other foundation is uncertain. But Jesus Christ is never changing. Jesus Christ is always sure. Jesus Christ is always certain. I love the verse in the book of Hebrews where it says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." He never changes. He's the rock that we can and should build our lives upon. Jesus told the parable of two builders. He called them the wise builder and the foolish builder. And he tells the story that the wise builder dug deep and he built his house upon a rock. And he says the foolish builder built his house upon the sands. And over the course of time, a great storm came. And the Bible says that the wise man's house stood firm through the storm because of the foundation that it was built upon, right? And the foolish man's house was completely destroyed, and the Bible says that he suffered great loss because he built on a faulty foundation. That's the difference between those two builders. It doesn't say the foolish builder cut corners in building his building. It just says he built on a bad foundation. Listen, if we are building our lives on anything other than Jesus Christ, we're setting ourselves up for destruction, for failure, and for loss. Back a few years ago, the stock market plummeted. Wall Street collapsed. People were going crazy, losing money left and right. They were losing their foundation because that's what they were building their lives upon. Listen, the economy can fail and falter. Jobs can be lost. People can fail you and let you down. But never Jesus. Always the same. Always the same. All right? So faith in Jesus Christ is the foundation that we must build our lives upon. The rest of this message is completely obsolete without the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a pass to tune out for the next 20 minutes, okay? I'm just saying, if your faith is not settled in Jesus Christ, that is not the foundation that you're building your life upon, the rest of this is completely obsolete. Because the rest of this message is about adding to that, okay? It's about actually building on that foundation. But if the foundation's not laid, you can't build the building, okay? Faith in Jesus Christ is the foundation. You see, faith in Jesus Christ introduces me to, or it's the foundation of knowing the Lord. You cannot know God without faith in Jesus Christ. Go over to the book of Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Great chapter of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 6, it tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see that? We cannot know God without faith, right? We cannot know God without faith. So faith introduces me to the Lord. Faith is the foundation of knowing His grace and knowing His peace. Go back to 2 Peter with me. Grace, or faith, is the foundation of knowing God's grace and knowing His peace. You see, because faith brings us into that relationship with God through His Son, and it is through His Son that He has chosen to extend to us His grace and His peace. Notice how Peter writes it in verse number 1 again, where he says, let's pick up about halfway through, where he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Faith is the foundation here, okay? Faith is the foundation of knowing God's grace and knowing God's peace. One of my favorite bumper stickers I've seen is kind of a play on words. It says, on the top line, it says, no, like knowing, K-N-O-W, right? No Jesus, no peace. And on the bottom, it says, no with N-O, Jesus, no peace, right? We can't have peace without knowing Jesus. We can't know truly His grace without knowing Jesus. Faith is the foundation not only of His grace and peace, not only of the relationship that we have with Him, but also faith is the foundation of knowing His abundant provision. Look at verse number 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us unto glory and virtue. Faith is the foundation here. Okay? Faith is the foundation of knowing and claiming His promises. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, this book that we're holding in our hand right now is filled with promises for us to claim. But we cannot claim them without faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is the starting point. Faith is the entryway. Faith is the foundation to knowing God's promises. Faith is the foundation for knowing God's purpose in our lives. Faith is the foundation for knowing true power, true victory, and true freedom. Okay? It comes only by knowing Jesus Christ. And we know Him by faith. So we got that settled, right? Faith is the foundation here. Because now we're going to start to talk about building, okay? We're building not on any temporary thing, not on anything in this world. We're building on what? Jesus. Faith in Jesus Christ. So now let's talk about building this building, building our lives for Jesus Christ. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? And I tell you, you're going to be remembered by the way that you live. You know that? Right. Ever been to a funeral and they're describing the person, you're thinking, who in the world are they talking about? Right? We're remembered by the way that we live. The way that we live is determined by how we build our lives. Can I tell you, before we get started here, it does matter how you build your life. Did you know that? It does matter what materials you use. It does matter how you build your life. If you go over to the West Coast in California, or you go over to Tokyo, Japan, buildings are built differently there than they are here in Detroit. And I'll give you the reason why. Earthquakes. Buildings there are built to move with the earthquake, so that at the first jolt and with the, when the earth begins to shake, that the buildings don't crumble. They kind of sway and move with it. They're built that way, right? If an earthquake happened in Detroit, we'd be in trouble because buildings are not built to withstand that. You build a certain way to withstand certain things. All that to say this, it matters. It matters how you build your life. Look with me at 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians 3. verse 10 again, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. What's that mean? Paul says, be careful how you're building on this foundation. Be careful how you're building your life. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, now he gives a list of several different materials. Okay? Notice them. Verse 12, he says, you're building on your foundation, you're using gold, silver, precious stones. That's category one. Okay? And category two, wood, hay, and stubble. There's a big difference between those two categories, isn't there? I mean, I remember the story of the three little pigs. First pig built his house out of what? First one was straw, right? Because the straw one gets blown down. The second one, I know this, I have four kids, remember. I am a three little pig expert. The second one built his house out of sticks, right? A little bit stronger than the hay, but not very strong, not going to endure the wrath of the big bad wolf. Big bad wolf comes, he blows the stick house down, right? Third little pig, he was smart. And he built his house out of bricks. And the bricks endured and withstood the wrath of the big bad wolf. I'm still kind of in awe that I'm using big bad wolf in a sermon. It's pretty cool. It matters how you build, okay? It matters how you build. Here he says, all right, I've got these two different categories of materials. I've got gold and silver and precious stone. Those are things that are strong. Those are things that are valuable, right? Those are things that are rare. Those are things that are precious, okay? And then he says there's wood, hay, and stubble. Wood you can find anywhere. Hay you can find anywhere. Stubble's even less expensive than hay, okay? Those are common. Those are invaluable, and they're not strong, okay? He says, every man's work, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay, so here we're building our lives, whether we're using gold and silver and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. We're building our lives with something, and then one day, the fire is going to try our lives to see how we've built our lives. Now, what happens when gold and silver and precious stone go through fire? It purifies them. They come out even better, don't they? What happens when wood and hay and stubble go through fire? Poof, gone, right? Completely destroyed through the fire, okay? Verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. He that built with the gold and the silver and the precious stone is going to endure. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Listen, if I build a wood house on a good foundation and there's a fire, that fire is going to destroy my house, but that foundation is still going to be there, isn't it? That's why it's important to have a good foundation. Okay? And it's important how we build our lives. The things that we're going to talk about building with is the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Okay? It matters how we build. There will be lives that have nothing to show when they stand before our Lord and Savior. All there's going to be is the foundation. And there will be lives that go through the fire and come forth purer and brighter and better than before. And it will be those that say that will hear the words, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Okay, so it matters how we build. I can tell you this, the Lord wants us to build our lives on faith. Did you know that? The Lord wants us to build our lives on faith. Look over with me at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse Remember, faith is the starting point, right? He wants us to build on that, okay? Ephesians 2, verse 8. Wonderful verse that tells us that faith is the only way to come to Jesus Christ, okay? We are saved by grace through faith. But a lot of times that's where we stop, okay? We have this foundation, we're saved, yay, that's it, that's all I need. Now I can go on my merry way, I'm saved. But that's not what God wants for us. Notice with me, verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? There's the foundation, saved by grace through faith. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, God's plan, God's desire for you and for me begins with coming to Jesus Christ by faith. And then it extends to now living a life for him. Okay? Living a life of good works that glorifies our Lord and our Savior. A life of building on that foundation. Okay? So it matters how we build. The Lord wants us to build on faith. Go back to 2 Peter with me. In all of our turning away from 2 Peter, let's make sure we keep a marker in 2 Peter. We're going to keep coming back here, okay? 2 Peter, notice with me verse 5. Second Peter, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. The phrase there means to supplement, to build on your faith, okay? Peter writes here that this is something that we must constantly work at. He says, give all diligence. It takes discipline and diligence. I tell you this also, it's a process. Building our lives on faith is a process, right? We don't always get it right. Tell me, how many of you ever not gotten it right? Amen? It's a process. But even when we fail, even when we falter, we keep going. We keep plugging away. We keep on building, okay? It's a process. We're not perfect yet, but we're pressing toward the mark, as Paul wrote in Philippians. We're aiming for Jesus Christ. It's a process. Third thing I want you to notice is that it's progressive. He says, add to your faith. Here, it's like he's saying, add and keep adding, okay? It's progressive. It also means here that it's not, okay, get one of these, and where he's got a whole list that follows, virtue and knowledge and temperance. It's not, get this first one perfectly down and then move on to the next one and get that one perfect and then move on to the next one. It's progressive. We're adding and we keep on adding. All right, we're working on all of these. Okay, it's progressive. We're adding and building. It takes hard work. But listen, our faith and the power of the Holy Spirit living within us empowers us to build this Christian life. That's why it's important to have a strong foundation, okay? We can't start with these good works and expect them to hold up, because good works on their own will only fall and will only falter. They must be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So what are we to add to our faith? How are we to build on on the foundation of faith? What are these building blocks that we are to use? The first one that Peter writes about here is virtue. Notice with me verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith, supplement your faith, build on your faith by adding virtue. Virtue isn't used very often today. It's not a commonly used word, but it's a word that means moral uprightness and holiness. It means literally excellent living. All right? So he says, add to your faith moral uprightness, holiness, and excellent living. All right, this pertains to every single area of our lives. We are to add virtue. Excellent living in the way that we work. Excellent living in the way that we behave at home, the way that we behave everywhere we go. Okay? Excellent living. Listen, as believers, we are called to a higher standard than the rest of the world. Did you know that? We are called to a higher standard than the rest of the world. In Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus says, "Be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." We're called to a higher standard, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15, turn over there with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Right? We're called, we're held to a higher standard. Because our aim is not to please man, our aim is to please the Lord. We are not accountable to man, we are accountable to the Lord for the way that we live our lives. And he is calling us here to live lives of virtue. We live lives of virtue by reflecting his holiness, by living lives of Christ-like love, Christ-like truth, Christ-like holiness, Christ-like service. That's what it means to add virtue to our lives. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse number 1, he tells us to be followers of Jesus Christ, right? Be followers of God as dear children, he writes. The word followers means to be imitators, right? To follow his example, if you will. How do we do that? By living lives of truth, by living lives of love, by living lives of humility, holiness, and service. That encompasses a life of virtue. And here Peter writes to add to our faith, build on our faith by adding virtue, moral excellence, uprightness, holiness, excellent living. Okay? He then writes that we are to add something else to that. He says we are to add knowledge. Notice with me 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." This word knowledge here means, and the word it literally is, an understanding of the truth and how to live it out. An understanding of the truth and how to live it out in our lives. Isn't that what God wants us to do with his word, right? James writes to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So we've come to Christ by faith. We've laid the foundation. We're striving to reflect his holiness in the way that we live, right? We're striving. We don't always get it right. Amen? We stumble. We falter. We fail. But we get back up, we keep striving to reflect his holiness to the world. And then we add knowledge. We get inside God's word, we read it, we study it. We allow his word to get inside us, we meditate upon it, right? And we seek to live it out. We seek understanding so that we might live it out, okay? Go over to Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start wrapping this up here. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, Paul is praying for the Colossian church. And he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Say, what in the world does that mean? Paul says, I want you to know what God wants for your life, and I want you to know how to do it. The psalmist said it this way. The psalmist said, "Lord, teach me to do thy will." Right? Show me what you want. Teach me how to do it. That's what knowledge is. The book of Proverbs calls that wisdom, right? It's practical knowledge. So we're adding to our faith virtue, which is excellent living. We're adding to that, we're adding knowledge, the ability to understand and live out God's word. How are we doing this morning? Where are we at? Have we laid that foundation of faith in Jesus Christ? And if we have, are we striving to build on that, a life that honors and glorifies our Lord and our Savior? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you would take these few thoughts, these few words, write them on our hearts. And Lord, bring forth fruit in our lives. Lord, bless us. We have a moment, a time of invitation, Lord. And give us courage and grace and to respond, Lord, as you have spoken to us. Lord, I ask this morning that if any here do not know you as Savior, they've never come to you by faith, Lord, today they would lay that foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, help us to build on that. Lives that honor and please and glorify you. Bless, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to attend our services, we are located at 44 Beebe Street in beautiful Lake Orion, Michigan. We meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and have Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by worship service at 11. We look forward to meeting you.